Good morning. Good to see you and worship with you on this day the Lord has made. To worship with you in person and also online. Have you met someone who is happy all the time? If and when you have met such a person, have you said to yourself, what is up or wrong with that person? Instead of being happy for that person, we might become jealous or envious. After all, who can be happy all the time? Not us. And the reasons why not grab our attention this morning. And so also does the way to not have the harsh realities of this life get the best of us. With those thoughts in mind, we worship our great God, turning our attention to the invocation on page 3 of the worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns even thanks for the forest of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
There is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
O Lord Almighty, blessed are they who trust in you.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Let us worship him.
Our opening hymn by faith, it's found on page 15 of the service bulletin.
Thank you.
back in the bottom of page 3. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Pray. Almighty God, you sent your one and only Son as the word of life for our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Help us believe what the scriptures proclaim about him and do the things that are pleasing in your sight.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God,
as we near the end of the Epiphany season, a reading from Holy Scripture from the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Does life get you down? Wear you down? You are not alone. We hear these words. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join in Psalm 121. We'll sing it as noted. Our God is alert to the trials that we have to endure, and so he encourages us to stay connected to him in order to endure such trials. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For a hymn response, please turn to page 16 as we sing Come Away from Rush and Hurry. Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter, where once again Jesus reveals his power and his mission. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our hymn of the day. Draw your attention to pages 17 and 18 for the song on Eagle's Wings. That is our God, and from him come grace, mercy, and peace in great abundance, evident through our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the scriptures this morning. Turning back to the prophet's words, Isaiah 40. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So which side of the bed did you wake up on this morning? Can you tell before your feet even hit the ground what kind of day it's going to be? The clue might come in the form of back pain, a sinus headache, the stress of a situation which you carried with you through the night, a phone call which woke you up, concern over world events, or the lie, the secret that you continue to hold in. There are countless reasons why we can tell that the day is starting out not in a good category, or it's going to end up not in a good category. However, on the flip side, what also have you come to learn about life while living here on this earth? Does the bad, whether it's in our mind or in reality, have to win the day and beyond? It may seem that way to us. However, the Lord reminds us through the prophet Isaiah in one place that we have a valid truth to hold on to so that we do not need to lose all hope while in this world and fall into fatal despair. He reminds us through the prophet Isaiah that our hope in him is well placed. And so the prophet Isaiah expounds on that thought, not just for the Old Testament Israel people who heard these words first and foremost, but also for you and me today who still get to hear them because they're vital to us just as they were to the people back then. And so, dear friends, your hope in the Lord, the hope the Lord has planted in you, it is well placed because the Lord, he is fully aware of what is happening in each and every one of our lives at every given moment. He is aware of the fact that every human being shares common ground. That common ground we share, for instance, is related to sin. Plain and simple. The Lord cuts right to the chase in Scripture that sin is that common ground that we human beings share. And it's because of sin, as we well know, but sometimes don't like to always admit, it's because of sin that we are dealing with harsh realities in this world. Now, some of these harsh realities are because of just sin in general, thanks to Adam and Eve. But some of the harsh realities that we have to deal with are a result of our own sin. Now, again, we could trace that back to Adam and Eve, but do you like it when your children or grandchildren blame you for the things that they did wrong? And so we can't keep blaming everything on Adam and Eve. We are responsible, or at least to be responsible, ourselves. And not only are we human beings impacted by sin in this world, Romans 8 reminds us that all creation is groaning because of sin in this world. And so we have earthquakes and other natural disasters as evidence that all creation has been impacted by sin. Isn't it ironic, though? We recognize that we don't live in a perfect world, and yet we do our best to cling to live in this perfect world. We go almost kicking and screaming on our way to heaven because this is what we know. But the Lord has revealed what we need to know for heaven so we don't have to go kicking and screaming to heaven. Sadly, again, the Lord knows what we have to endure. He knows that no one, not a one of us, is exempt from suffering. Whether it be from the minor aches and pains to far worse. And it's true, we most likely could find somebody who has it worse than we do, but that doesn't minimize what we ourselves are going through. And the Lord reminds us through the prophet Isaiah, even when we're young and we think we're invincible, there comes a time when you realize you're not. And so it's a reminder to the youth to respect those who are older than they are, because one day they will be those older people. Our strength will wear out because we are human. The Lord's not depressing us. He's just reminding us of the realities that we go through and that he is fully aware of these realities. Because, you know, Israel called out complaining to God. And the Lord says, why are you complaining? There is nothing new under the sun since the fall into sin. This is how life is and will be. But we like to complain, don't we? Some more than others. Some people just love drama, bringing attention to themselves. Do you like hanging around people who are in a constant state of complaining? Maybe that's you. Why do we like the drama? That's one way we think we can cope with it. And if I'm going to be miserable, doggone it, everybody else should be miserable with me. Now, it's not that we can't complain, especially when we have aches and pains or even something worse, right? We need to get that out of our system and talk about it. While also realizing that just talking about it and complaining in of itself is not going to solve anything. And so then the Lord addresses that as well. Instead of internalizing the pain and the harsh realities that we have to go through in this world that we live in that isn't perfect, and instead of blaming God for dropping the ball, for the issue is not with him but with us, he reminds us then we need to listen better to him, to why there is pain and suffering in the first place. I mean, he gave Adam and Eve a very simple command. Show your love for me by not doing this. And they disobeyed it. He gives us the same command. Love me. And then show that love for me by also loving your neighbor. But we complicate it. We think we know better. So instead of going to the one who can help us through the harsh realities that we're dealing with, who can give us the strength and the energy we need and the answers we need, we overlook him or underestimate what he can do. We look for something else that might have a better offer. He says, cast all your anxiety on me. And yet what do we do with that anxiety time and time again? We pull it back. We hold on to just a snippet of it even. So even that drama of yesterday, well, it comes back, sometimes on its own, and sometimes we make sure it comes back, because that seems easier and better for us than listening to God and casting our anxiety on him. And so the Lord repeats it again, your hope in the Lord is well placed. He is aware, dear child of God, of what you are going through, from the minor to the major and in between. And he has what we need to endure through this life into eternal life. He fully provides what we need. Isaiah reminds us of why he can do this, because he is the Creator God. And not only is he the Creator God who got this world going in the first place, he is the one who provides for this world. He sends rain on the unjust and on the just. He does not grow tired as we grow tired. He did not rest on the seventh day because he was like, oh, I'm famished. I need some water. No, he rested because his work of creation was done. Everything was in order. And he set the tone for us because he knew we would need a day of rest. The psalmist reminds us, too, that the Lord does not sleep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is everlasting. And this is the God, then, who sustains the world. Beyond our thoughts and ways. His paths are beyond tracing out, and for good reason. Because again, do we want a God that we can manipulate and control and really can't help us? Or do we want a God that we really can't figure out, and yet he allows us in his own way to figure enough out of him and about him so that we can rely on him? And what else has God done to provide for us to help deal with the harsh realities of life that have come as a result of sin? At the heart of that is our salvation. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, working together for our good so that we can not only have hope while in this life, but also for the life to come. And that hope is rooted in the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has won for us. All that complaining we direct toward God, and all that complaining we direct toward everybody else, and the harsh realities that we have toward one another and that we have to deal with, or sometimes the unsympathetic ear that we give to people, all those have been taken to the cross, not to be held against us, and not to give us a license to keep living that way, but just the opposite, to have compassion and to know where to take our complaints. And so on the cross, Jesus said, it's finished, you're forgiven. And with that forgiveness then comes that new attitude toward living this life and seeing the hope that we have for what it is and the gift of eternal life. The victory has been won for us by Jesus. And the Holy Spirit makes that victory our very own through word and sacrament. Thus, God says, stay connected to me, and you will be able to hold on to that victory. You are more than conquerors, not in the future, but now already. Even though you're walking around with a walker or a cane, you are a conqueror where it matters most. Preach it, brother. He also provides in the following ways, too, because he can. He gives strength, right? He gives us the ability to endure. When we are weak, what does he say? That is when we are really strong. How many times have you said, Lord, I can't take it anymore. Finally, you have to take it, Lord. And he's going, get out of the way. It took you long enough to get there. Because we think we need to solve it. We underestimate what God can do for us. He enables us to rise above the challenges. He doesn't necessarily remove them. Maybe he gives us a way to not have those challenges get the best of us. It's like even when we become angry. It's not that anger is wrong in and of itself. There is a righteous anger. But to not allow that anger to get the best of us and sin in that anger. He gives us renewed energy. By not focusing on the here and now, but on the here and hereafter. This hope that he gives us, that we have in the Lord and is well placed, it's an unwavering trust. It's what the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, writes in Romans 5. We are at peace with God. We have been justified. And because of that, then, we are able to persevere. And as we persevere, we are building character. And as we build in that character, we build up that hope. It's the promise that we hold on to. A promise built on reality. The promise to not give us more than we can literally stand up underneath. We think we're at the breaking point, and yet he allows more sometimes. Why? Because he's building your spiritual muscle. He's keeping you focused on the path which leads to heaven. That word renew is interesting too, because it's here in this context, emphasizing like putting on new clothing. And when you put on new clothing and when you dress up, how do you feel? You feel good, right? You kind of look in the mirror and go, yeah, I'm all that. And maybe that's why years ago, not because of their all that, but years ago, people used to dress up for church pretty consistently. It was their best of the best. Because it helped them appreciate who they really are. Not that we need to do that. But there is something about that when we get dressed up. That's what that renew means. It's like putting on those new clothes of dignity, feeling good about yourself. We have the robe of righteousness put on us through the means of grace. Wear it well. Because with that robe of righteousness comes the future to hold on to, that focal point. I mean, God says to the Apostle Paul, don't keep holding on to the past. You can't change it. Live your life in the present with your eye on the future. And so he reminds us with that eye in the future that this battle that we're going through, whatever it might be, and we're not saying it's easy, it's worth fighting and enduring through. So focus not on what we accomplish or have accomplished here and now, because that's all temporary. Focus on what he has accomplished, which is reality for here and hereafter. And that's where the Lord reminds us also then in the Gospels, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. If it's on the here and now, your heart only, well, things are going to seem insurmountable and impossible and overwhelming. But when our treasure, our focus is on the Lord and what he has promised us and has waiting for us, not that those things go away, but our ability to endure, to persevere, to hold on to hope endures. That really sums up Romans 8. Scripture beautifully ties itself together. How we know that he is going to work out all things for our good, spiritually most of all. 1 Corinthians 15, right? The victory has been won. Stand firm, then, he says, in this victory. Well, as we recognize by the Holy Spirit that our hope in the Lord is not misplaced, who do you know could use the here, could hear the why? And the where to look for. Why things are the way they are, and where to look for as a way to find answers and to endure through such. As you reach out to those people through whatever means you use, may the Lord use your words, words which are based on his words to you. May he have those words bear fruit. May they bear fruit then continually, not just for them, but also for yourselves. For as we need to put that oxygen mask on first in order to help those around us, so too the Lord with his word reminds us, put on that hope on yourselves first so that you can be of hope to those around you. That hope that has been planted in you, a hope in the Lord that is not misplaced. And our world needs that hope. It always has, and it always will, until the Lord comes back. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We join in a confession of faith. It's found in the middle of page 8. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen.
Please be seated. God, we praise for the thank offerings that you are led to give so that the hope that he has for this world can be spread not just here but throughout the world. We pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people.
We especially thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, who has ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand.
We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne, and that he intercedes for us in all our needs.
Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with understanding and knowledge of your righteousness.
Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children. Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Dear Savior, O rich the gifts you bring, yourself made poor and weak, O love beyond expression that thus can sinners seek, for this, O Lord, will we our joyous offerings bring you, and glad praises sing to you, ever grateful we will be. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. Continue to refresh in body and soul those celebrating a birthday this week. And continue to bless the couples among us who are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Renew their love for one another as they reflect on your great love for them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petition. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be praise and honor and glory and power, now and forever. Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
we pray.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Another way to help share that hope with the world is through the LWMS mission boxes. If you are not familiar with those, please see the information board and find information there, what those little boxes represent and how to fill them up and bring them back so that we can support mission work in across the world and also right here at home. Bible study taking place after the call meeting. That'll take place in between the services. We're continuing our look at one of Paul's prison letters, a letter of joy and hope, the book of Philippians. You can find study guides there by the bulletins on that bookshelf or also online. And just, yes, we're planning to have a call meeting for a junior K kindergarten teacher. That'll take place at 9:30 here in the church. And we'll Lord willing, be blessed with a call and get that out and pray for that person to ponder that call and be led to accept it here. Then next Sunday, we have our annual congregation meeting in between the services again at 9:30, and also followed by then our celebration of ministry event. So everybody is welcome. We'll start out here in the church and discuss some things, of some ways that we can celebrate and what we have to celebrate as a ministry here, and then spread you out through the campus to meet with the boards and other areas of ministry to find out, again, what they are doing and how you can help them in their work. Ash Wednesday is right around the corner, February 14th, the greatest love story. Truly is, right? God's gift to us in Jesus. So that journey begins on February 14th with worship here at 6:30. Holy Communion will be celebrated. We will have a fellowship meal at 5:30 in the Multipurpose Center. Just direct you to the weekly news for the things that are going on here at church and school. Have a great day in the Lord. Your hope is not misplaced in Him. Thank you.